The following program is meant for mature audiences only.
Watch your fucking kids!
You have been warned.
Welcome back to Beards on Gaming. How are you today, Mark?
I think I just reopened a cut on my thumb. No, it's fine.
Fantastic.
And that's going to set the tone.
So today I'm going to talk a bit about, Hollow Knight and probably Demon Slayer, if I'm being honest. That's what I've done this week.
Wow. Yeah, I about have just as much similar things to talk about. Nothing really new happened this week for me. It was a lot of going back to old stuff and kind of experiencing some stuff I've played before, just kind of, you know, tied me over. In the wake of this utter madness, I need some kind of comfort.
In these uncertain times.
Mm. I went
every time I hear uncertain times, I want to strangle the narrator.
Anytime you hear uncertain times, you point at the screen like, ah, he said it. There's the thing. So what have you been playing recently, besides the two that you just mentioned?
Besides Final Fantasy, not much of anything, really.
Mm.
It's been all Final Fantasy. I've gotten Bard to 80.
Nice.
I really, really am digging Bard, even though it's probably, like, the lowest on the DPS, like,
damage scale.
I think it's currently the lowest on the damage scale.
Obviously, this is going to depend on the person who's actually controlling it, but...
It's also a support class, unlike Machinist, Dancer, and Bard are definitely support. Machinist is not support.
It's got
Machinist is selfish. Is super fucking selfish.
What are you talking about? I support them by killing the enemies.
Yeah. No, Machinist is not support.
It's got that one ability.
Yeah, fuck that, no.
So yeah, Final Fantasy and Hollow Knight. Final Fantasy we talked ad nauseum about, so I don't think there's much to update there unless you want to talk in more in depth about Bard.
There's a patch coming out.
Well, get that where we get that.
You're getting a blue mage upgrade, so you're getting a higher level
move on.
I think it's level 70 blue mage. So it probably means new skills. On the 5th, they have a big announcement, they say. To the point where they even advertising on the, it's the first thing you see. Well, it was the first thing you saw when you logged onto the game.
This upcoming Friday, you mean?
Is it Friday?
Yeah, because tomorrow's the first.
Okay, so yeah, it's, yeah, basically less than a week now, you're going to be having the big announcement day, and everyone and their grandmother is saying they're going to be announcing the next expansion.
Yay!
So we're probably going to know what the next expansion is by Friday.
Forspoken.
Yeah, so they asked Yoshi-P directly, and he says, no, that's wrong.
Okay.
But Yoshi-P has been known to boldface lie in the past.
Because why not, right?
Yeah, because he can.
Yeah. Well, I would.
Yeah, I guess so. I hate that name.
It's a bad name. It doesn't roll off the tongue. At least in English. I don't know what it would be.
You have cool names like Heavensward, Stormblood, and Shadowbringers. Why the fuck would you call it Forspoken?
I don't know. But maybe it is a better one. Maybe it has the same cadence as the others. But so yeah, besides Final Fantasy, you delved into Hollow Knight at my insistence.
Yes.
And the fact that it's going on scale. So you're...
It's on sale for like $15 right now. It's pretty fun. I'm enjoying myself. Stage 2 can go suck a nut, but other than that, I'm having fun. I know you're gonna.
I'm being silent.
I know you're gonna sing this game's praises, but I refuse to give any praise to anything.
It's no, because I'm trying to be silent because everything criticism that you have is based on your skill.
That's fine.
You're not doing.
It's great. Not even. That's fine. Like I acknowledge when I'm not doing great. I don't mind not doing great. What I have a problem with is. Enemies that purposely waste my time, and I hate that.
But you're choosing to waste your time.
In some situations, yes, but if I'm in a narrow hallway with an enemy that has a giant AoE attack every time I attack it, that's just going to waste my time.
Just ignore it.
You can't ignore it. It takes 3 slashes to ignore it. The most you can get off before it fires is 2.
I know exactly what enemy you're talking about. It's in that little corner. Just wait for it to go, and then just move. Just leave. And then there's that one that you decided to attack before leaving. Anyway.
I understand your point. I understand everyone's going to tell me to get good.
But fuck you.
I disagree. Fuck you.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of where this conversation ends. I would rather...
I am enjoying the boss fights. The boss fights are really fun to play.
I would rather you not... good. I'm glad you're enjoying it so far. I would want to delay any sort of comprehensive review of it, if that's what we're going to do, until you've actually beaten it.
I just want to talk about what I enjoyed about it.
Okay.
I do love the atmosphere. I love the artwork. The combat's really fun. I'm hoping that the combat becomes more nuanced as it goes on.
It will.
Okay.
You will get a lot more abilities and strategies to employ.
Yeah. Yeah, but so far I'm really, really actually enjoying myself with the game.
Nice. So, that is for your week?
Man, you're really trying to rush past Hollow Knight.
I mean, no, I don't have anything else to say about it, because a lot of what I could say about it is actually, besides what you've already said, it's more about the actual, how the story goes and how things change.
Mm.
But I can't talk about that at length, because you've only played up to Green Path.
Mm.
Which is area number 2, as you've said.
Did I beat it? Did I beat Green Path?
No.
Oh,
okay. There's multiple bosses.
Fantastic. Yeah. More Green Path. Wonderful.
You fought Virgil.
I'm uncomfortable with you calling that bug person Virgil.
Why? That is my word for the obvious rival character that is multiple bosses.
Does the rival character have a name?
Yes.
What is the name?
You saw it.
Did I?
Yeah. Every boss has a little title.
I didn't register.
Hornet.
Oh, that's a neat name.
Yeah. She's the new protagonist of Silksong.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is that like a sequel?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I think it was actually going to be like a DLC story that was just going to be like added on to it.
But they decided they wanted more money?
No, because the DLC would have been charged anyway for about the same price.
Yeah.
But they kept adding to it and adding to it and then adding to it. And they realized... Do we just make basically another game? Okay, this is just another game now, guys.
Oh, God. No, but I'm enjoying it. Like, Metroidvanias were never really my thing.
Mm.
But this is definitely charming enough, and...
No Symphony of the Night for you?
I never played Symphony of the Night.
It's very good.
I played a few Metroids.
Mm.
But I never played Symphony of the Night. I know everyone and their grandmother says it's like one of the greatest games of all time.
I would say it holds up.
Like, before I would play anything else, like, I'd really want to try to find a place to play Chrono Trigger. I really want that to be on Switch, but it's just not on Switch.
Yeah, it sounds like you just need to carve out a weekend or two for yourself and just start playing some classic-ass games.
Yeah, I could emulate it, I suppose, but... I don't want to. I want to play it, like, on a system that I have. Like, I would like to pay for it.
I don't know. I wish I could give you more advice about this.
Like, I could emulate any old game, but that... I don't want to do that. I actually want to pay and support the game,
Well, you're paying and supporting Square Enix. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. But when you make it so it's like impossible to play your game on like modern times, then your game's going to be stolen. I'm sorry, that's just what people are going to do.
I don't know how this would hold up throughout the entirety of the game. I do remember a year, maybe 2 ago, that I, on a whim, got Chrono Trigger on Android.
How was that?
It seemed to play fine.
Okay.
I didn't play it for terribly long. I think I got to... I think like first boss that wasn't like the training mission, and that was about it. It seemed to be fine. I didn't really have any issues with it. I don't know how it holds up in the long run or how it compares to the old one, because I played the old one many, many years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know how.
Wouldn't it just be? I don't think they ever made a remake of it. I think it's just Chrono Trigger.
It's just Chrono Trigger. There is no remake of it. The only thing is a sequel, Chrono Cross, which is bad.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that it was really bad and kind of ruins the... It's so bad it ruins the original game.
It's so bad it stopped it from being anything interesting beyond Chrono Trigger. This thing that could have been really neat, and it just... It's not. It stopped.
Yeah. There's like no announcements for any new games coming out, is there?
There's a few things I'm keeping eyes on, but nothing that's, like, grabbed my attention super hard.
Yeah.
I might want to...
The only thing I really saw was, like, Final Fantasy 16, but that was... I don't even know when that's coming out.
Yeah, that's in early enough stages that I'm not paying too much attention to it.
And the lead designer on it couldn't get his hands on a PS5, the only system it's coming out for.
Whoops.
Yeah. Yoshi P.
Yeah.
Had to ask his Final Fantasy 14 fans if anyone had an extra PS5 you could have.
You think...
I'm not joking.
I understand Sony's point in deliberately under-manufacturing these.
I don't.
To create hype for more people to buy.
See, because... This
and save on production costs overall.
Because I imagine there's got to be a lot of people like me who now has lost interest in even owning a PS5.
But not as much as people that are getting, like, are treating it more like the Holy Grail than if it was just, oh, new console.
You see, if I could buy PS5 when it first came out, I would have one right now. But since I couldn't, and I'm just decided to get games for PC, I have no interest in getting a PS5. So, like, even when it comes out, I'm probably just going to wait for, like, the next version of it.
That's fair, but I understand that you are somewhat in the minority of people that were considering to buy it initially. But here's the thing, my point being that you'd think that they would manufacture enough that game designers, higher-end game designers at major companies that constantly have deals with you about making games exclusively for your console, would have access to a base version of your goddamn console.
You want
to
know what makes it worse?
What?
Like... Semi-popular YouTubers are getting them for free. You remember? Call Me Kevin?
Yeah, something along those lines.
My name is Kevin, or Call Me Kevin?
Call Me Kevin, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he got one for free.
Yeah.
Catacris got one for free.
Yoshi P.
And these are people that I find are... They're
middling.
They're popular YouTubers, but they're definitely middle-of-the-road popular YouTubers.
We're not talking Mr. Beast or PewDiePie over here.
I don't even know who Mr. Beast is.
He's stupidly popular, but it's dumb.
But yeah. And the person designing one of your major flagship games for the PS5 doesn't own a PS5 himself.
Fuck it, whatever.
To the point where even on their trailer says, this is emulated as a PS5 on a PC.
Granted, I mean, most programmers and developers are working on, like, massive rigs that aren't, like, basically aren't available or practical for commercial setup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he shouldn't need a PS5, but at the same time, if you're going to make a
half a console. Speaking of PS5, did Harry Potter come out for PS5?
I don't know when that's supposed to come out.
I thought that was a release title. Is that not a release title?
I have a phone in front of me.
Yeah, check that out for me.
Let me close out my porn.
Anything good?
No. Shame.
Oh, God.
Hogwarts Legacy, I guess. It looks like it's been pushed back to 2022.
Oh, no.
Oh, well. They give enough time for people to forget the anti-trans tweets, maybe?
No.
Probably not. That's going to be a while.
That's going to be another generation. But anyway, I think the best Harry Potter game I ever played, weirdly enough, was...
Lego Harry Potter.
No. I didn't like Lego Harry Potter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
I don't remember.
The first ones were really bad. The second ones had horrific loading times, so I really couldn't play it much.
Uh-huh.
Prisoner of Azkaban, though, was the first game where I actually felt like I was exploring Hogwarts and using magic spells.
I don't recall that. Oh, I think I vaguely...
It's not a terrific game, sure. But it's definitely not a bad game. It's a GameCube game.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's...
I don't recall this.
It's not bad. Like, if you were desperate to play a game Harry Potter related,
I'm not.
But people would be.
Sure.
Like, especially if you're a kid. If you're honestly desperate to play a Harry Potter game, Prisoner of Azkaban is honestly your best bet.
No, I think the kind of crowd that would be super desperate to play a Harry Potter game now is the same kind of crowd that would just be playing that Hogwarts mystery game on their phone.
Isn't the one that, like, has horrible pay-to-win bullshit?
Yeah. That thing where it's like, hey, look, your character is getting choked by vines.
Yeah.
Either wait 12 minutes for the energy to stop that, or pay me $5.
There's one where characters hanging off a ledge, begging you for help. Pay money to save them.
Or wait 20 minutes. He might drop before then, but 20 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
It's horrible. Yeah, and even then, the game itself is just kind of just tap a thing and a thing happens, and that's about it. There's nothing to it. Yeah, so why are we talking about Harry Potter again?
Because it was there. You're talking about PS5, and I thought it was a release title.
This is the week of It Was There.
I don't have a PS5, so I'm not really able to talk about like a lot of the things it has. But
oh man, we can't talk about Bugsnax,
dude. That looks great. Okay, like I know it's a joke for people, and I get that entirely. But every review I see on it gives it like high scores.
Why? It looks like nothing.
It looks like nothing. But do you know? It's the people in Bugsnax that you form relationships with.
I'm not believing you.
And it gets super fucking deep. And like you, these people are like actual people with problems, and like you form a relationship with them, and you try to help them through their issues. Like, and these are actual like, I don't really want to talk anything about like what happens in it because I've been trying to avoid it myself. But sure. I do want to play it.
I'm not looking at you right now. I'm not going to sit here and have you analyze the complex interrelational struggles in Bugsnax.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, it gets real fucking deep.
I don't want this. This thing you're telling me, I reject it.
I guess think of it like Harvest Moon. Or not even Harvest Moon, Stardew. Think of it like Stardew. You know how
Think of it like Harvest Moon, got it.
Yeah. But yeah. You know how the main gameplay is basically farming?
I get it, okay.
Farming and exploration, if you're in Stardew. That's the main thing, but the side shit that you like spend what you like earn through farming on is getting to know these villagers. And getting to find their problems and what they like and getting them to have a relationship with you. That's Bugsnax. So you play this weird, creepy version of Pokemon where you feed the Pokemon to the villagers. And they become part of the Pokemon.
I'm a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. You get to choose what part of them changes to. It's funny.
Oh my god. Anyway.
It gets weird. It gets really weird. Is
this what's going to get you a PS5?
No, because I can just buy it on a computer, dude.
Isn't it?
I'm pretty positive it's on PC.
I thought it was like a launch title for the PS5. Nope.
There's very few launch titles for the PS5.
And that's what I was also
confused. And that's if you consider the Dark Souls remake a launch title.
It technically is. It's not even Dark Souls, it's Demon Souls.
Excuse me.
Because Dark Souls is perfectly fine on its own.
Do you consider a remake a launch title?
If it is as deeply changing enough like this one is.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Then it's close enough. It's not great.
I heard it's basically mostly the same, just with graphics improvements and shittier songs.
I have heard shittier songs. Yeah. But the graphic improvement, general gameplay tweaks, new things added.
Some people were complaining that they didn't change anything about the inventory system. Where they really probably should have.
I don't remember that part.
Okay.
I don't. Okay, well, whatever.
I heard that people love it because they love Demon Souls.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same game.
I haven't played it. I started Dark Souls and I will not be going back. Anyway.
Fair enough.
Dude. I don't know. Maybe at some point. But I also don't have a PS5, so the point is moot.
But yeah, Dark Souls, you have Sackboy, not Little Big Planet,
just Sackboy, which I couldn't care less.
Sackboy, and I guess there's less creative there's like no like level created stuff in this. It's just a platformer.
Hmm.
So okay. Like they're focusing purely on it being a platformer.
Great.
I mean, if you're a little kid, you'll probably like it.
Sure.
But
if you're a little kid with $500.
Everything else is just, you can get it somewhere else, or it's on,
Yeah.
I think those are, like, mostly the only real exclusives.
I think there's a good chunk of it that's like things that could be released for PS4 can also be played on PS5. I know Assassin's Creed Valhalla was
You can play basically most games from PS4 on PS5. Final Fantasy 14 on PS5.
But specifically, like, new versions of them. Is what I mean. Like, it's a different version of Valhalla if you play it on PS5, or at least an improved version.
Apparently.
I don't know.
Okay. Because I know, like, it's funny, because there is special cutscenes that you see that for our loading screens in the new Spider-Man.
Oh.
Which people see if they play on Xbox, but if they play it on PS5, they can't see it because there are no loading screens on the PS5. It loads it too fast that there's no loading screens.
No, I figure.
So if you're on Xbox, you see the special cute loading scenes they did.
Hey, press X to jump, and you're getting to game, it's too fast, and you're like, what do I do?
You see, Spider-Man, taking the fucking subway or some shit, and just,
Yeah.
You don't see that on PS5, because it just loads through it, so you have to look them up online.
Oh, shit.
It's funny to me.
The PS5 erases content.
I'd rather have no loading screens
than of course. Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's our review of the PS5.
I haven't touched it.
No.
I don't even know what the controller feels like, but the thing is ginormous.
It is, it's weird.
It's probably one of the it's probably the biggest console on the market.
Is it?
Probably.
Is it?
Because I have I have the wall of most gaming consoles over there. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have.
But,
Is it, or is it just shaped weirdly that it looks bigger than
it is? No, it's fucking huge.
Okay.
I've seen videos of it, and you have to use the stand that it comes with, otherwise it overheats.
Compare
to my PC right there?
Yeah.
Half
the size?
Up and down?
Yeah.
It's either the same size or a little bit bigger. It's probably the same size, up and down.
Width? Thickness, rather?
No, it's skinnier than that.
Okay. Nah, it's still pretty weirdly tall.
It's very tall. It's extremely tall.
Which makes it good.
Everything I hear about it, it has amazing loading times. And it's so fucking quiet.
It's just I'm not sure if I'm going to get it quite now. Especially since I've been, like you, I've been leaning more towards, even more towards getting stuff for the PC.
Yeah. Dude, get a tower.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm
working towards. You're kind of mobile, aren't you?
Not enough.
Okay.
My laptop stays in most places.
I shelled out to buy, this is a fifth, I spent $1,500 on this.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best investments I ever made.
Yep, it's fucking great.
It has an SD drive, SSD?
SSD.
SSD, thank you. It's an SSD drive, and everything just like that.
Yep, it's really good. Yeah, so I'm looking to get a tower like this too, so.
Yeah.
Yay, PC. Master race. Anyway, besides PS5 reviews, I went back to a lot of older games just to redo them a lot. I've been playing a lot more Darkest Dungeon with a lot of mods installed.
Download the mod that adds a sexy bartender?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
No. No, I don't
care. Did you not? Oh, okay.
I don't care. I need my bartender to be as old, grizzled, and sad as he is in the normal game.
Listen, man, do what you gotta do. Whatever works for you.
Okay, anyway. But what I have actually ended up liking is, I actually appreciate how the company Red Hook, I'm pretty sure it's Red Hook that does this, they call it a weekly mod showcase. And it's just straight up, they pick two mods from the Steam Store or Nexus Mods that they've just enjoyed.
Yeah.
This person did a cool thing. Get this. It's a lot of class mods or boss mods, but they're really neat. And I appreciate that there's a... I appreciate the connection between a company and the modding community. And I like how a lot of people have taken great strides if they're making a new class to make their own artwork look very similar to Red Hook's artwork so it fits.
Nice.
It's really nice. So I've been playing that. I actually recently replayed Outer Worlds, which grabbed me more this time. I don't know why.
I kind of fell off the bandwagon very early on with that game. I don't know why.
It has this issue where it had an issue, maybe still a little bit. I didn't feel like, how do I put this? I might have been expecting it to be the next New Vegas,
Yeah.
And I wasn't immediately grabbed by it.
Yeah.
It had a... Part of it, I think, was a bit of world building. I know the Fallout universe decently well enough. I get the gist of what happened. Even if I'm not, like, a fucking historian, I know what the Fallout universe is about.
Yeah.
And even if New Vegas is a new area and has new factions and people to meet, but I get the baseline of where I am. Well, Outer Worlds had a bit of an issue explaining what the fuck is going on and why am I here.
I felt most of the time I was in inventory menus.
I mean, no.
A lot of it was, was picking up trash and selling it.
Yeah, okay. Welcome to RPGs. I don't know what to tell you.
I like the simplicity of Fallout games with the inventory. I don't like how every game's starting to look like Destiny with like menus and shit. You can look at me like that. I don't give a shit.
I don't understand what you're talking about,
though. Yeah, continue. Go ahead.
Okay.
I can't explain it to you.
Go ahead. I guess I'm in the same boat. I can't quite explain why it didn't grab me as much the first time. I beat it the first time, obviously, but
did you?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Outer Worlds.
Did you side with the, the rebels?
No. Oh, I thought you were about to say the poor. There's no real rebels. It's the one guy. And it's like, hey, maybe we actually need people who know what the fuck they're doing. And the board's like, no. No,
you can turn them in early, can't you?
Oh, super early. And even then, he's like, yeah, I did kind of unfreeze you and force you to work for me, and I didn't really ask for your opinion, did I? Oh, well, that was pretty shitty of me. Not going down without a fight, though. You basically just can't go to his lab after that, and you've kind of sided with the board from there on in.
Yeah, because even when I went to visit him, he's like behind like this force field.
The bulletproof glass, yeah.
And he's like, man, I really wish you didn't bring your companion here.
To my secret lab. My secret lab. And I'm like, dude, I literally just brought a janitor robot that I filled with acid. I'm not kidding. That's a companion.
I usually just stuck with, what's her fucking name there?
Parvati.
Yeah.
Engineer.
Yep.
She's fun. But yeah, I do kind of appreciate this. It's like, for as malicious as the corporate guys are, they're more just idiots. Like, the whole point is, it kind of establishes early on in the very first quest line in the very first town, Edgewater. It's like, the main corporate guy, he's a nice enough guy. He wants the best for his workers. He's okay at his job. He's just terribly fucking stupid. And is so fucking blindly loyal to the company that doesn't give a shit about him. That it's like, I gotta take you down, dude. The best ending you can get in the first town, I guess kind of spoiler.
With having the woman take over that left?
Specifically, you need to talk with both sides, figure out everything to do, talk with Parvati, and your first companion. She'll say, I don't think it's probably the best
idea. So the second time through, you did the thing that you gave me so much shit for doing.
What?
Keep the power running to the town, but talk to the people that left to come back and have the woman take over and to grow crops.
I must have been giving you a little bit too much shit for that.
Oh, you gave me so much. We made a bet over that, but which you never fulfilled for.
Yeah, I owe you money then, because that is the golden ending. Is literally talk to everyone, put money to the town. She's angry at you because she's a bitch. But then go talk to the guy, convince him to step down.
Yeah.
And then she takes over and it's fine.
She's a bitch, but she's competent.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, but also if you side with the board, if you do that and then side with the board in the ending, they just come and kill everyone.
Really?
That's the bad ending. yeah. And if you side with Phineas, it's perfectly fine. So here's the thing, is that this game did make it out to be, that is the best way you could possibly do this.
Yeah.
For all the places. It's find some middle ground between both.
Yeah.
I
kind of like that. Like, that was the only story quest that really, like, grabbed me. Like, Parvati stopping you at the end, like, hey, listen, are you sure you've thought this through? And I'm like,
no, click.
And at the time, I'm like, yeah, fuck the board. And then she's like, yeah, but you know, but a lot of people.
You're not really fucking the board. You're fucking the people right now.
And then that's the first time, but honestly, that conversation right before I did that actually made me change what I was going to do. Because then I'm just like, Oh, maybe I'm the dickhead.
There's a lot of people that gotta go, but
yeah.
You gotta make sure that they go, not everyone around them.
It was the first time in that game, or many RPGs at all, like, I'm just like, am I actually doing the right thing?
No. But no, so
I do like the fact that the game gave me the choice for the middle ground, and it forced me into, like, one of two extremes that are stupid.
Right. But yeah, so a lot of the game is the golden ending of the game, if you want to go for it, usually involves playing both sides until you find some middle ground.
Yeah.
It's both Edgewater with the deserters, it's Monarch between the only good corporation, the one that gives a shit about its workers, and invented the amazing thing of the weekend. Literally, there's a conversation between two NPCs, one from Monarch, and Parvati, actually. It's like, oh yeah, you know, these bunch of guys, like, travel with me on these weekends. She's like, what? It's like, the weekend, you know, Saturday, Sunday. He's like, what the hell is a weekend? The days you didn't work? What? Yeah.
Okay.
Straight up, the main guy is like, hey, turns out starving, stupid, tired workers aren't very productive.
Uh-huh.
So we tend to try and feed them, kind of educate them generally, and give them days off. It works for us. So I've been playing that.
I like the idea that my character was a former cashier that just kind of went postal.
Yeah. I actually wondered why that was the case. Because the whole point is Phineas unfreezing people to help him save the colony.
Yeah, right.
So why are you the shitbird? There's nothing that you can pick that is above zero.
Right.
Literally, the main specialized science one that you could pick, for example, is you were the guy that cleaned test tubes. Science plus one.
It kind of makes you think that there's a reason why you had to choose someone so shitty, but does it ever go into it?
Would you like the spoiler?
Is it that you're okay, I don't know.
Okay, skip if you don't want spoilers, I guess.
Okay, I guess.
That experiment he does that makes you... A, lets you slow down time, but actually made it so... Because in this universe, you can't freeze someone cryogenically for more than 10 years, or they can't be unfrozen.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing of the hope being lost for 70 years, why he needs the chemicals to unfreeze everyone else. It's because the chemicals and the thing he does with it lets people come back.
Yeah.
Few dozen times, that didn't work.
Nice.
He pumped them full, and he called it... He says it's explosive cell death, but it's more of a liquefaction. So basically, anyone he took from the hope that he had to experiment on, horrible death. You are number zero, because if they lose you, it's not that big of a deal.
Oh, nice.
He feels super shitty about it, and he really recognizes that I gotta make this work because I can't let everyone else's death be for nothing.
Yeah.
But that's the reason. Is why are you at the bottom of the totem pole? Because if you die, it's not that big of a deal.
That's great.
If I get fucking Dr. Smith or whoever, who is the fucking genius in his field, master botanist, who might single-handedly solve the starvation crisis that we have, we lose him, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You, test tube cleaner?
Convenience store worker.
You know what? You're okay. Okay, but you're okay, though. Okay, get out there. You're good. Go. Pretty much. And he, again, feels shitty about it, but that's the truth.
Goes out to take out his rage and all the Karens of the universe.
That's a good motivation.
Oh, it's great.
So that's fun. It also had I forget if it's this year or last year. It was 2020 or 2019, I'm not sure. It must have been 2020, because this came out in 2019. Perils of Gorgon, which was a new DLC they added.
Okay.
So, nice little fun campaign. Had a nice, decent... deal to it. Probably the worst thing that a corporation in that universe has done. So that's fun.
I have always wanted to go back to that game. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, you have enough on your plate.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Besides Outer Worlds, besides Darkest Dungeon, I've been playing a lot of Failbetters games. One Failbetter game, and one that was written by a guy.
Failbetter game?
Sunless Seas and Sunless Skies.
Okay.
Have you ever seen these?
I've never heard of them.
I figured not. I don't know how to describe them. They are quasi-RPG visual novel exploration games.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all set in this universe called Fallen London, which was a browser game that was entirely based on text and book. No, incredibly well-written eldritch horror.
Nice.
With touches of romanticism in there. Basically, some of the Seas was good. It was really good. But it had a little bit of... it was all about exploring a... I don't know how to describe it. Because it's like... you can't really describe like an eldritch an eldritch universe. Because it's all meant to be like... they say something and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But that's how it is. I guess it's like something about how London has fallen beneath the earth. Or bats carried it there or something. And then there's this massive ocean under the... that's under the mantle of the world, and the sun is like this eldritch horror that will burn you alive or drive you insane if you look at it, or it's just the people under it. So it's fucking great.
Okay.
It's all about exploring the weirdness of this universe. But also Sunless Skies is a quasi sequel to that, or an alternate timeline, or a possible future from that timeline. About being in the sky, and it's also space, and the world is broken apart, and you travel around in the space sky in a space train.
Okay.
So, I don't know how to describe it beyond that. I would look up a gameplay or some kind of review of it to just see what it's about. It is very much like interacting with an eldritch horror story. As your captain goes through, explores the skies, explores these different ports that you land in, make money, level up your stats, go through these stories, and either work towards accumulating your own wealth to just retire comfortably, fame to get a bunch of stories about yourself, or the truth, which is the canon ending, I suppose, but that's super difficult. It's all very great. Similarly, I've been playing a lot of Cultist Simulator. Which I think is a much more concise and descriptive title. But it was written by one of the guys who I think is formerly of Fail Better Games. So his writing style is incredibly similar. Mm. And it's basically a single-player board game about you being a leader of a cult who is trying to attain some end, usually some kind of immortality and ascension. Well, what?
Okay, continue.
By, I don't know how to describe it. It is a single-player board card game. So gather lore, find rites, sacrifice your own people, summon demons, yada, yada, yada.
Nice.
Explore places, find books, study the books. Die of hunger because you don't have a job. Again, these are difficult to explain because they're very unique games. It's not like, oh, first-person shooter RPG. No, it is a... they're very much like
get addicted to Rolls Royce and nice watches.
I mean, you could do that. There's literally retirement in this game. That's just like, yeah, you retired in wealth. But
buy up Buse's farmland. Try to take over a city. I'm talking about Rush and the. What the fuck? What was that cult?
What
that,
cult?
That took over an entire city.
Oh, the one I showed you.
Yeah.
Shit, I forget its name.
Rajneeshpur. Yeah, something like that.
Rajneesh was the guy. Rajneeshpuram, I think. That wasn't the name of the cult, that was the name of the compound. But yeah. No, yes, I know what you're talking about. No, but it's like, in this case, the cult is...
Yeah.
The magic is real.
Yeah, in this case.
The stupid magic is real. But so yeah, I've been playing a lot of those, and they've been altering my mental state a little bit.
I want to play, I think it's called Spiritfarer.
Yes, I've been also looking at that.
Yancey
named it Game of the Year. Holy shit.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was that his favorite game of the year? Mm-hmm. Oh, damn.
I forget.
I know what it's about, so, like, again, it's another game about getting to know virtual people.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
fuck real people.
I kind of want to just chill out and, like, play a nice, like, relaxing game.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the games I play right now are like Twitch Fest. Like
Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Oh my god. Gotta do everything now super fast.
Yep. Or Hollow Knight.
But yeah, I think that's all I got.
Not too much going on, just an update week for us and talking about stuff we've played already.
Oh yeah, I watched a lot of Demon Slayer, but I don't know like what I could really say about it right now.
Yeah. Probably wait until we've watched it all.
I've been really fucking enjoying it. Like, my wife started watching it, and she forced me to watch it.
So from what you've shown me, it's solid. It's good. It just seems Sentai. Not Sentai, but, God damn it, what's the
term?
You've
just finished the prologue, basically.
Sure. God damn it, what's the term? Fuck, I can't... What is the term for, like, a...
It's an anime.
No, it's the very specific term for an anime or manga that's, like, for a specific age group. Because that's how they, like... Fuck.
I don't know. I wouldn't show to anyone that wasn't a older teen or adult.
But that's what I mean. What's that age group?
Yeah. I don't know. It's the show is extremely fucking gory. And the problem with being a demon slayer is the fact that you're usually there late.
Shonen. Thank you.
So the people half the time the people he goes to save have already suffered an extremely fucked up death.
Yeah. It's a little bit
It gets pretty fucked into the show.
I'm not there yet.
You've seen some of it. Like, you've definitely seen bits and pieces of it. But, there's one episode where he goes to stop young girls from getting kidnapped.
Oh, we're there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
I'm there.
The one person he's helping out through most of the show to try to find his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The demon straight up tells him, yeah, I just eat the girls as soon as I get them. I don't want them to get old. They become less tasty then.
Oh.
By the way, does any one of these keepsakes belong to her?
Yeah.
This one was especially tasty. Was this her?
Okay.
just fucked.
It's like, I don't know why you expected this would have a happy ending, sir.
Yeah, none of them, like, a lot of the stories are just kind of like, yeah, shit sucks and the life keeps going.
Anyway,
I kind of like that.
On a sword?
I kind of like that, though. Like, I'm so used to seeing, like, animes lately where, like, there's always another way to save someone or, like, turn things around or the power of friendship will bring everyone back to life.
Sure. Too much of that, though, can go in the other way, though.
Oh, yeah.
Where it becomes, like, I just don't care about these people anymore. Everyone's going to die. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, definitely. Like, any other, like, any JoJo side character?
Yeah, well, that's funny. The start of Attack on Titan was a little bit that for me.
I can see that, definitely.
Nothing anyone did. There was no, like, growth.
Yeah.
Anyone who just trained super hard and was super nice was bound to just get eaten.
Yeah.
Apparently, Attack on Titan has gotten new chapters, and I kind of want to know what people mean by this. There is no one left to root for. Not in the necessarily bad sense. Like,
yeah.
There are people who are still watching it, but... Holy shit, everyone involved with this is a monster. But also they say it's a good thing because people in the show are acknowledging that they are not going to be able to get out of this. Like, in-universe, people are saying, yeah, we're pretty much fighting for a world that we're not going to be a part of because we gotta go when we're done with this.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I have no idea. That's just what I've heard about it, so I don't know what happens, but... That sounds really neat.
I tried watching it, but it didn't really grab me too much.
Sure.
But then again, I've been so fucking busy, it's hard for me to get grabbed by anything.
Yeah. But rough year. It's going to be another rough year.
Fucking A, it's...
GameStop, huh?
That has been humoring me more than anything else.
Yeah, it's funny.
The fact that people that...
I mean, it is significant for the people that have their money invested on either... Well, no, I don't care on the hedge fund size. I care about the people that bought GameStop. But no, for me, it is very just... Nah, look at these guys.
I don't think there's any, like, good people that are getting fucked over by this.
I don't think so either.
Because even when you're talking about GameStop employees, they were being treated like shit and they weren't going to see a dime anyways.
Did I mention this to you?
I think the only people getting fucked in this is people that purposely end companies' existence for their own profit.
I'm pretty sure this is fine. I'm pretty sure this is a perfectly moral thing to be doing, guys. That's not sarcastic. I'm pretty sure this is good.
You know what's hilarious? Ted Cruz has been trying to push to deal with the issue, and a lot of people responses to him like,
"How about you fuck yourself?"
Exactly,
dude. You can't change size now just because it's popular.
And he's like, there's one tweet that was perfect. It says, "I'd be more than happy to work with any Republican on this issue, but since you tried to have me murdered 5 weeks ago,
nah,
you could sit this one out."
He is the fucking worst.
I love how blunt people are being with politicians that were directly responsible for the terrorist attack.
Why do you think this will end in peace just because you want it to end in peace now? Now you're losing. Now you're unpopular, and now all of a sudden it's time to unify.
Yeah.
No, fuck you.
I'm hoping people don't forget about this shit. I'm really hoping people don't forget and move on.
This is the first month of 2021. We're 1/12 of the way in.
Oh, God. I want to have a kid.
Stop! What about what made you turn on the news one day and think, this is a good world to bring a child into right now?
No, I always wanted a kid. I'm just at the point now where I think I'm ready to have one. It has nothing to do with the world or the condition of the world. If it did, I'd never have one.
So who's going to be the father? Thank you. That was an obvious joke, and I reached for it.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the low-hanging fruit is nice and easy.
Oh, jeez. But,
yeah, that's it for me.
I don't have much more to talk about either. I'm hoping something comes out soon, because, shit, otherwise we're just going to have to start talking about movies again.
Oh, God, we're going to have to spend each time in each other's company more.
Most of 2020 was movies for us. I looked through it.
Yeah. We were really banking on Cyberpunk, weren't we?
Yeah, I thought Cyberpunk was going to give us a good 3 episodes. Like, fuck, Red Dead gave us like 5 or 6.
If we include the online stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, like Red Dead was like a never-ending fountain. He's either great or awful, but still, it was something to talk about.
Yeah. FF14, huh?
Even Fire Emblem gave us a lot of shit to talk about.
I think there was a side thing.
FF14 is easy for us, though, because there's always going to be
It's an MMO. There's people more dedicated than us to talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You got people like Speakers Network or ZephyrHQ, and that's all their channel is.
Yeah.
No, not so much Larry Sore anymore, which is sad, but I am happy he has his own life now outside of
YouTube, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so hopefully the fifth will be here beforehand, right?
Yeah, because it's this Friday.
So yeah, next episode would probably just be Final Fantasy 14. Easy episode.
There's a lot of things I'm keeping my eye on, so there might be like tiny things I can drag up. Not huge games, but like indie games that I found on Steam.
Yeah.
That I might be able to talk about it too. Maybe we'll talk more about Hollow Knight, depending on how far you get.
I do want to play more of Hollow Knight, but one of two things I want to do. I either want to try to play Chrono Trigger, or I want to try to play Spearfarer. That's the two things I want to try to do. I'm not going to get to both of them.
Well, of the two irons to strike, Spearfarer is lukewarm, whereas, you know, Chrono Trigger is ice cold.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Spearfarer is, I can just buy on my PC and play today.
Rather than trying to wrestle with something like Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But yeah, thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
And see you guys in 2 weeks.
I suppose we shall.
All right, peace, dude.
Goodbye.